Hi, I'm Nadine McCoy, and when I'm not staging homes for top dollar results, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank.
You're listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in you, your dreams, and your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women in business who want to make great things happen. Each episode is a lively conversation filled with practical advice, tips, and inspiration to help you grow your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Mary Foley here, and it's great to be with you. Yep, I got a little bit of a scratchy voice, but it's still great to be with you. So here we are in the second month of 2020, a year that many say is full of lots of transitions. Perhaps including selling your house or moving to a new home. And if so, we hope it's not outside the NOLA region. I mean, you know you'd miss the food too much. But picking out a new home is so exciting. Getting your home ready to sell? Not nearly as fun and can be a huge hurdle. You just can't throw everything into a large closet if you want to truly get top dollar. And that's where our guest today comes in. She knows how to help you deal with your stuff and make your house look and feel amazing, which is really what we all want to feel, whether we want to sell our house in 2020 or not, right? But first, what are your big dreams and your schemes for your business in 2020? What information and inspiration do you want, do you need to get started on your goals? Hey, I bet there's a Power Plug podcast episode that can help. Why not go to fidelitybankpower.com, click on podcasts, and find out. You can also find the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher if you have an Android phone. And make sure to subscribe to keep yourself powered up and plugged in all year. Now let's get talking with today's guest. Today we're talking with Nadine McCoy, founder and creative director of Organized Impressions Staging and Design Studio. She is an award-winning professional who has been called a miracle worker and the Mary Poppins of real estate, who can transform ordinary and drab into spectacular. She and her team have been featured in numerous magazines, blogs, and TV shows, including Fix It and Finish It with Antonio Sabato Jr. and Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine. Now she's here to share some of her miracle worker secrets with us. Hey, Nadine, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you for having me. I am super excited to talk to everybody about all of the things home staging and getting organized.
Absolutely. And before we dive into that, I just am so curious. What was it like being on those TV shows?
Oh my gosh. Can I just say crazy? You see probably three people on screen and there's about 50 running around in circles. Which was about the biggest surprise, I thought. But it was fun, exciting. I fell into bed at night. It was such a whirlwind of things. But the results and the fun experience meeting Antonio Sabato Jr., I mean, that's amazing. He's a great person. Same with Robert Irvine. So much fun. I recommend it to everyone to try it once and see if that's what you love, because TV is never the same what it really is. But
okay,
well, I would love to do more. So
love to do more. Well, clearly, you know, to be able to not only have the competence to be asked and to be on that show or both those shows, but also to keep up with the pace and the, all the demands that it takes to do a TV show and make it look so simple as a viewer on the other end. It's not for everyone. So kudos to you. I think that's just really cool. Well, so let's dive in. I want to know, what's the difference between staging a home and designing a home?
Well, that is such a good question, Mary. And I'm so glad that you asked, because many believe that to be actually the exact same thing. And that is why sometimes home staging gets a bad rep and why some people believe home staging does not work. So essentially, the biggest difference is who we are preparing the space for when we are designing a home. We design it to the homeowner's personal preferences, their favorite colors, their styles, and the functionality of the space, pretty much meaning how they will be using the space. Home staging, on the other hand, is all about the potential home buyer and no longer about the homeowner. So staging a home is to create a measurable, marketable difference in the perceived value of the property. And as home stagers, we do that by using design principles to our advantage. We use color, scale, repetition, all to draw attention to the home's architectural features, the benefits, and all of the positives of the home. But most importantly, we stage to appeal to the demographic, meaning we actually spend a good amount of time researching who the most likely home buyer is and what they love, what they value, what they aspire to, and how they will be using and living in the space.
You know, all of that makes so much sense. And yet, when you're living in the home and you've lived in it for years and it's your place to go to, it's not always so obvious. I have to say, this really hits home for me because in 2019, we decided to sell our home and we needed to do a whole lot to get it really, you know, likable, you know, for people we don't know who are the buyers. And we could project potentially who those buyers could be, but this totally makes sense. And I had to start giving up that this was my home or our home, and this was somebody else's future home. And so what would they want to see? And in fact, you have said that most people live in their home while selling their home, totally case for me. So that's practical because, hey, otherwise I had to pay two mortgages or rent in a mortgage. You know, that's practical to be have to still live here. But it's also challenging. So what's the mindset shift that we have to make that whole living in the home while we're looking to sell it easier?
Absolutely. Selling your home is a huge endeavor and one of the most stressful at that. So I think the most important thing to remember is the ultimate goal, and that is a fast and profitable sale. And the best way to approach the process of preparing your home for sale is to no longer call it a home, but a house. And we want to take out all of the emotions that come with our home. So this house is now a product. It has to be marketed as such. And home staging, in essence, is the marketing of an interior of a property. Because nobody wants to buy somebody else's home, their emotions and their memories. That's why one of the biggest recommendations we always do is to not only edit, but to depersonalize it, because the potential home buyer, as they walk into the house, they want to envision themselves. And that is very hard to do when they see memorabilia and family photos and all of those things. You're just simply drawing away from all of the architectural features and what home buyers actually value and want to pay and spend money on.
I remember going through that. And the first thing I had to do was take down all the photos. And that in itself is pretty obvious in some ways. You're like, okay, I understand that. But we had in our bay window a bar set up and we called it Liz and Mike's Bar and Grill. All right. So this is like Intel, anybody. So we had these signs that said Liz and Mike's Bar and Grill around and said, so we had to take those down too, because what is that? But I will tell you that I had this fun on the mantle. We still left the big L&M and nobody knew what it really meant, but it was these cool letters. Okay. it was our just little joke. But anyway, I can hear what you say about going from even the nomenclature, the word of home to a house. You know, my other half said, I feel like I'm living in a hotel now. So to sell it faster, and I know you said earlier that it really depends on who you're looking to sell it to, right? But are there some big things that pretty much from your experience, all buyers are looking for in a new home, especially these days?
Absolutely. As you just mentioned, it really depends on who the potential buyers are. But I thought the best way to answer this question is to know who exactly today's home buyers are across the board. And here's what I know. Today's average home seller is between 45 and 65. Yet the average home buyer is between 28 and 45. So today's largest buying pool is actually comprised of 31 million millennials and 81 million Gen Xers. And now that we know that, we can actually narrow things down just a little bit, because based on consumer consumption and research, we know what that particular demographic aspires to or what they're looking for. So here's just a list of a few things that came to mind. They're by no means in order, and I do truly understand that there's always going to be an exception to the rule. But number one I want to mention is move-in ready and turnkey. What happens is millennials, they do not have the funds, nor most of the time the actual knowledge these days, or the skills, or even the interest to update a home themselves. They value their time over everything, and those just have better things to do. They don't want to come in and update the house. Gen Xers, on the other hand, they probably have the funds. They have the skills, but they simply no longer have the time. Most of the time, they are sandwiched between their own children that they have to take care for, as well as their aging parents. And with that said, time, they don't have any. So they're looking for turnkey as well. So the more turnkey you can give them, the better. Number two, very high on the list, is storage. People just completely underestimate what that means. It's an actual deal breaker. If they do not believe, or the home buyer does not believe they can fit their stuff, they're going to walk away from the space because it doesn't fit their need. Number three, and that's no surprise, updated kitchen and bath. We all know the return of investment of that. It is very high on the list, and even if it's just painting the cabinets, do what you can. Number four, stainless steel appliances, and even better, energy efficient. Because millennials, they're all about a cause. They're looking to give back. They value such thing. Number five, updated light fixtures. So here's the thing. If the very first thing as a potential home buyer is walking into the space is seeing an outdated light fixture, they essentially don't think this is outdated, but if they haven't updated the light fixture, what else hasn't been updated in this house? And that is the very first thing as they're entering the home. Number six, a designated home office area or den that is not an actual bedroom, simply because nowadays many people work from home. And because of that, it makes it very high valuable and on the list, puts it high on the list. Number seven, high tech, such as wireless connectivity, smart home features, etc. And last but not least, number eight is a livable backyard outdoor space to entertain. Millennials love to entertain. And the more seasoned of us, the Gen Xers, we all like to every once in a while entertain, sit outdoors, and just enjoy some quiet time as well.
Ah, you know, that's a tough list, but it makes a ton of sense. So I got to ask, so if we don't have one of these big things on this list that, you know, most buyers want, what do we do?
So Mary, here's what I believe to be true. And I said it many times, pretty much in every house that I go into for a consultation, every house at the right price is a dream house to somebody. So my recommendation, for whatever reason, whether it's budget, special circumstance, or time, you simply can't please everyone. And you'll never have every single thing that you can check off the list for a potential home buyer and what everybody wants. What I want you to do is simply to put your best foot forward. Put in as much of your budget as it allows. Always get a pre-listing consultation with the professional organizers and do the things that they suggest for you to do in your special situation, your unique home, and they will be able to guide you in the right direction and give you the highest ROI on just about everything that you can do. And let's not forget a little bit elbow grease. I mean, you can organize, clean, clean, clean. There's a lot that you can do to put your house in the right position. The right buyer is gonna come around for the right price.
Yeah, you know what, I got to tell you, that's exactly what happened to me. And in our situation, we didn't have all eight. We had a number of them. And when we finally hit the right price, boom, we got a very excited couple. And, you know, we all want to sell our home, I think, to someone who's excited to buy it. First of all, it increases the likelihood that it's going to all go through. But if we truly liked our home, it's great to say, feel like we're passing it on to someone who's going to really enjoy it and take care of it and probably upgrade it and change it to make it theirs as well, which is just like what we did when we first moved in. It's no wonder you were on these TV shows. Okay, so listen, we've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, I've got some more questions. So hold on and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, Director of Power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman going after her dreams, you deserve a bank that's more than a bank. You deserve a partner. That's why we designed our Power program to not only meet your financial needs, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our Power join-up sessions, online member directory, or private Facebook group, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. Because at Fidelity Bank, we are here for powerful business and we are here for good. Find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley. And today I'm talking with Nadine McCoy, founder and creative director of Organized Impression Staging and Design Studio. We talked about what it takes to set up and stage a home for top dollar, which we all know is going to include getting organized, right, Nadine? So here's the thing. After I personally purged and cleaned and staged my home to sell, I wanted to all of a sudden live in it again. I mean, I'm like, this is a nice place. Maybe we should stay. But actually, I knew we ultimately wanted to move. I mean, it was truly energizing to have this newly organized and decluttered space. And so many of us want to get organized as a new year goal. But, you know, let's face it, it's hard. It feels overwhelming. So what's the best way to reduce our own resistance to this and just get started?
So Mary, in your case, very great example, your own motivation was to sell your home, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
That's a huge motivator, meaning just like anything else in life, we need a really big reason, usually a really good one, for us to actually do the change and truly change. So to start out, I usually recommend to find yourself a really good reason, whether it is to be a better role model to your children, finally be able to entertain, whatever it may be, really. Number two really is to have a plan. You want a step-by-step plan and you want it to be written out. Studies really show that if you write down your goal, that I think the number is 57% or so, that you will actually reach your goal if you write it down. And last but not least, treat yourself. Have a little dangling carrot at the end of the day that makes you get through all of this and know all of the hard work you're doing. You can treat yourself afterwards.
I love that. You're right. That's true for decluttering, getting organized. It's true for any goal that we have this year. I love that. How can we create the habit of staying organized? Because let's face it, we got disorganized because we weren't in a habit. So how do we change that behavior?
So first of all, after many, many, many years of organizing others, here's what I've learned. There's a misconception of what being organized is. And here's a saying that I like to use, a place for everything and everything in its place. And that is what you want to keep in mind, because the reason why I believe and where I think go really wrong is when people think they're getting organized or they're organizing, what they're actually doing is just cleaning up. They clean off every surface. They stick things in whichever corner they can find where there's a little bit of space and starting an endless cycle. They put in a lot of work. So don't get me wrong. I understand there's a lot of work involved even by doing that, but it truly doesn't fit a place for everything and everything in its place. So step one is to actually go the lengths and to really find that place for everything. And not only that, by doing that, everybody else in the household is going to know where to put things. And to even further that point, you want to label everything once you actually determined where something goes. Again, people then know exactly where to put things.
I'm just thinking to myself about the organ. Like, I know where everything is. Why doesn't everyone in my house know where everything
is? Label. I wish
I had in my head.
Again, treat yourself after all of that hard work. And number four, the most important thing is to have a maintenance plan, because you don't want to put in all that hard work. And and not actually live it that way. So you want to set a few ground rules. And the few that I live by is obviously discipline. So you take something out, you put it back. If you buy something new, you want to make sure you take something else out. You never want to buy anything just because it's on sale.
You know, when I was thinking about the whole thing of decluttering and getting organized, and you think you said, you know, it can be overwhelming, so you got to just have to get started. Would you recommend we just start with one room, maybe one that's smaller, so that we can break it down, even if it's like, all right, I want to do the whole house, but right now I'm just going to focus on this one bedroom or maybe this one closet even.
So in a sense, not so much one room, but really one category. If anyone is familiar with the KonMari method, that's what she talks about. So instead of thinking of specific areas, what happens is if you take a look at all of your different drawers around the house, you will more than likely find the exact same thing all over the house. So whether you start with your office supplies or in your home, your jackets, your pants, start thinking more in categories and work on that specific category versus, oh, well, let me clean up this master suite and then everything that comes with it, because that's where it's a huge area, number one, to begin with, but it's also so many things in there that usually by the time we started really getting into it, we get frustrated and we stop right there. So you want it to be small enough, you want it to be manageable. So thinking in categories is going to be your best bet.
There's this challenge sometime that there might be one spouse or one partner who's more organized than the other. Now, I've heard this happens. I mean, of course, I have no idea what people are talking about, but I did want to ask you, the expert, of what can we do if one person is more organized than the other?
One? Just kidding. It's actually what I like to start with is just start with yourself. And as women, we usually have the majority of the household in our own hands. So start with the laundry room, start with the kitchen, start with the areas you're mostly in charge of. Do the work. Your partner is going to see the work that you're putting in. Go the length, do the labeling, find a place for everything and everything in its place. And sooner or later, what you'll see, and I've experienced this over and over, is that your partners will see they will see the result and how much easier they can find things. And there is this little switch that happens and all of a sudden they want to be more organized.
What's the impact of being organized on our personal and professional business success?
The way I thought best answer this is to actually give you a few statistics on the personal home front as well as on the business front. And I'm going to give you the statistics in terms of the effects not being organized have on your personal life as well as business. And then you can determine what of a difference that could make in your life. So on the personal side, a study by NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers, says that on average, we spend 1 year of our lives looking for lost or misplaced items. That's 55 minutes a day. How much more could you do or get done or spend quality time with your family and friends? Number two, 23% of adults admit to paying their bills late because they lose them or simply forget. Could you put that into an IRA, some kind of investment account, and live a better life? Getting rid of clutter eliminates 40% of housework, and it truly reduces the stress associated with it. So think about the time you could spend, the frustration at home, and how that could change the dynamic in your entire household. So now that we talk about the personal side of things, let's talk about business. So the average office employee spends 1.5 hours a day, or an equivalent of 6 weeks per year, searching for things. Do you think that has an effect on your bottom line? I think so. I'd rather go on vacation or send them on vacation, have them to be much more happier employees. The typical executive wastes 150 hours a year simply searching for lost information. That's almost an entire month. So I would argue that all of that lost time and mishandling of paperwork detracts a company's ability to service their customers better. It truly increases sales and improve the bottom line. So yeah, getting organized and spending all that time doing the hard work is truly an investment. And what's your time worth?
Yeah. And you know, that whole adage, time is money, right? Exactly. There, you know, and time is one of those things we cannot manufacture more of. Nope. We all have that same constraint. Wow. That's really compelling. As we wrap up for the day, I cannot believe we're already out of time. I do want to ask you, Nadine, what was the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you're doing now?
Oh, Mary, that's actually a really funny story, but I'll try to keep it short. So as I've mentioned, I started my business back in 2013 and as a professional organizing company, and we were specifically catering to professionals either working from home or small businesses. And we were providing them with systems to simplify their physical space, productivity, as well as designing and styling up the space for better function. So on a side note, real estate agents happen to be my number one clients. And so I had one client that pulled me aside one day and she said, "I need you. I need you to help me with this property. It's a succession property. I need you to stage it. Help me and help me now." And I tried to turn her down just simply because I had no idea what staging was at the time. That wasn't in my court at all. And I was just thinking, what could I possibly be bringing to the table at this those days? So I had no idea what staging meant. So to say that property was challenging, that would be a complete understatement. It was a succession property. The children lived out of state. We had lipstick red bathtubs, flowered wallpaper peeling off the walls from the 60s. It was a mid-century home furnished full of stuff from turn-of-the-century antique furniture, all worth a wealth of money. And so I couldn't say no. She wouldn't take no for an answer. So we met up at the property. We walked through the space. And I gave my recommendations just purely on instinct, just what I would think would be right with somebody spending some money on would value in this space specifically. So we walked through the space and then she's like, "Oh, great. So let's call the clients." And she pulled out her iPad, put me on FaceTime, and she's like, "Okay, let's do this again." I was sweating. I thought, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And to make that long story short now is at the end of the day, that house sold in 2 weeks. I believe there were competing offers and it sold for $75,000 over asking. And all I did was giving my recommendations. I came back and moved furniture. The two daughters flew in. They did most of the editing and taking things out based on my recommendations. I specifically worked with a property manager to get the house cleaned up and the and auction companies to come in and look at the items. But other than that, that's all I did. So it was minimal time on my part, a lot of elbow grease. But what I understood was at the right price, this property would go to somebody that would value the structure of the home. And that's exactly what happened. Somebody that really wanted to come in, love the structure and the details, and they then fixed it up. And so to make a long story short, I got hooked. I went down the rabbit hole. I learned everything about staging. I didn't know that was even out there and was a business. I don't know what I was thinking or how I could miss that on my part, but I got certified, learned every single thing, and all because of one woman who saw the potential in me. And I'll be forever grateful. I get goosebumps right now because it completely changed my entire life and how my business is running right now.
That is a great story. Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that too. Because what I also love about this is you had a successful already organizing business.
It was scary to change.
Yeah. And you were excellent at it and you were, you know, successful at it. And so there was no compelling reason to change. You know, something, it's not like it wasn't working. Then you got asked to do this. Your gut said, just say yes, even though you were scared. You went with your intuition. You went with what you understood about design skills, right? And organizing and all those kinds of things that would play into it. And look at the difference that it made. Now, if someone wants to get in touch with you, Nadine, what's the best way they can do that?
Absolutely. You can find out more about us simply by going to our website, organizedimpressions.com, or you can follow us on Instagram, OI_homestaging.
Easy enough. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for all your tips, all these insider TV secrets as well, but really practical stuff that we can use, whether we're selling our home or we just frankly want to enjoy more of the home we're already in. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary.
When you meet the right person or gain the right knowledge you need right now for your business, feels like magic, doesn't it? These kind of magical moments happen every day for over 600 women who are members of our Power program. I know firsthand because as the director of Power, I talk to members every day and see the magic happen. I'm Liz Brockman and would be happy to talk with you too. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Feeling more powerful? Keep it going. Go to fidelitybankpower.com where you can instantly listen and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Because we are here for powerful business, and we are here for you.